First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, movie lovers. I'm welcome to the show. Today, I actually have my good friend Kim from the Reels for Reels podcast. We're going to be talking about the James Gunn Superman movie. I can't wait to dive into this. First 30 minutes of this is going to be non-spoiler reviews. And then once we get into the 30-minute marker, we're going to be dropping spoilers like it's nothing. So if you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend that you go see this and then check out the video or the audio format later on. But yeah, for further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's review Superman. And hey, Kev, how are you doing?
What's up, bro? I'm doing good, man.
I'm doing really good as well. It's good to have you back on here. It's been a minute since we've actually been able to do a show, so I do appreciate you wanting to do this non-spoiler / spoiler talk for this film.
Oh, man, you know I had to show up for the homie, man. You know what's crazy? I never met your podcast co-host, though. That's crazy.
Well, we're going to have to set something up. I'm serious, because Rossi is very busy with her side job and stuff like that. She works for the Paw Patrol toy line and stuff. So she's she's like in and out of the studio and stuff. So we try to do shows like on a Wednesday night together.
You have to let her know I got a toddler, man. She can hook something up.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do.
What's up?
Let's see. Derpy Entertainment says currently at the drive-through. And for a second showing, Cousin Punk Rocker. Yes, I am. Welcome to the show, Derpy. It's been a minute since I've seen you inside the chat. It's good to see you. But okay, let's go with our overall first initial thoughts and stuff like that. Like I said, the first part of this is going to be non-spoiler talk, and then 30-minute marker, we're going to go straight into spoiler territory. But I thought that the marketing for this, I really didn't like the marketing behind it at first, but then I liked what I got once I saw the movie. I ended up doing like 3 different reaction videos for this as well. I ended up doing the Lex Luthor one. I did the one for CinemaCon. I did the trailer reactions because I wanted a little bit more meat for me to be able to see what I'm getting. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not doing any more reaction videos at this point. But overall, though, the final product of what I got is everything that I wanted in a Superman movie. I like David Cornsweet as Superman. I like the actress that played Fantastic Marvelous Mrs. Maisel being Lois. Yeah. I also liked from the casting all the way up to the story points. What about for you?
Oh, man, I'm same with you, man. It was good to get a hopeful Superman again. For me, that was a big deal. I appreciate what Snyder did. I'm not a Snyder hater like a lot of people. Man of Steel was one I appreciated for what it was, going to the dark tone with that. But this movie, it was good to get back to that hopeful Superman. I like the aesthetic. Every scene felt like a turn of the page of a comic book. The tone of the movie felt like we were leaning into kind of the all-star Superman comic book series from Grant Morrison, with a hint of inspiration from Superman Birthright, Brainiac, Superman All Seasons, that type of stuff. Not necessarily plot wise, but tone wise. And that's what that's what Superman is at the end of the day. So Gunn was giving a spectacle and the hopeful heroic side that we love about Superman. And that's important. And he nailed that for me.
I agree. And this is what I liked about this though, too, is like you mentioned the fact that this is an all-star Superman. I've read a couple of all-star Superman. This is actually as close as you can get to as a comic book. And it's actually good to see us have some hope for once instead of us having to look down all the time when we're supposed to be looking up for hope. And then I've reviewed every single Superman movie before seeing this. So I did matter of fact, I'm actually editing the Man of Steel one right now for the audio, but it's like for the YouTube channel. But going into this, I like this a lot better. I like having Martha and Jonathan Kent on the screen the whole entire time. Jonathan doesn't die.
Yeah.
This is something I like because of the fact that not only do you have the father dynamic, but you also have the mother dynamic now even further in this. And I like how they bring that balance to it. And I remember hearing on Howard Stern's show that they actually got one of the people from Howard Stern's co-host or one of the people that worked for him. They used his parents because they live in Kansas. Used his parents
as
that. And it works. The father and son dynamic between everything.
I like them too. They got that. They nailed the Kansas accent too, huh?
Yeah. Because his father, if you actually listen to the Howard Stern show, his father has that very slow things like, how you doing? All right. You know, just like that slow twang to it.
Yeah, that was cool, man. That was really cool. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, it was really important to get the immigrant story of what Superman truly is. I feel like metaphorically they hit that pretty well. And I mean, Superman's an immigrant navigating a hostile world, facing Lex Luthor, who's consumed by the systemic power, insecurity, and fear of the unknown. And so I feel like they really tied that in well.
I think so too. Like, I was wondering how this Lex Luthor was going to measure up against all the other ones that we have in the past, but I think this is the one that's the most threatening of them all.
It's my favorite live action. I mean, respect to Gene Hackman, the legend, rest in peace. But, since you've been watching those movies, like, I love Superman 1 and 2 are awesome. 3 is where for Richard Pryor for everything. I'm like, dang, Richard. Because you know what?
You're going to be surprised by this. Like, I understand what they were going for. You know, I think it was ahead of its time because I actually covered this with Tamika. I think this was a movie that was ahead of its time because of the fact that the internet was not around. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they mentioned the fact that you can go into a bank with a loaded gun and take someone and kill somebody which you can do this virtually going into a bank and stealing something. So it was very different if you think about it on looking at those lenses. So that's why I kind of did like a deep dive into it. And I don't hate it as much as I used to or anything. I don't like part 4, but part 3, I can actually rank it and stuff like that where I can actually put it maybe a little bit higher than part 4.
Well, how do you feel about Lois Lane, like her getting cut out of it? I mean, I know the actress, she had problems with the cut, the Donner cut versus the other cut.
Right.
But... they completely were like, oh, okay, if you got a problem, then we just gonna cut you out of this altogether. It's just like, dang, her storyline is just like non-existent. I was like, that's crazy.
I agree. That's one of the other things I have to say about part 3 as well, is because I don't like the fact that Lois was cut out of it.
Yeah.
So that was like a little bit of a takeaway for me as far as that goes. But let's get into this. I like the fantastic Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I love her as Lois Lane. Here's the thing. We need that quirkiness. We need that person who's actually doing the headlines and trying to interview Superman. This is the one that I needed. Amy Adams was just kind of like that girl next door, going with the flow kind of thing. Okay, you want me to go ahead and shit in a bucket? Not a problem. Anything to get the story. Hey, Perry, you want me to go over to the Arctic? Okay, not a problem. This one is very charismatic towards Clark, also cares about Clark and Superman, but at the same time, though, she also wants to be the one who winds up getting the big story while Clark is actually interviewing his own self. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that you have a woman who's in charge who wants to be out in the front and center versus it being where she's pushed to the back because she's a woman and someone that is working for the Daily Planet.
Yeah. One thing I like about the relationship, so this is year 3 of Superman, so... their relationship is still like pretty fresh, and like you could tell Superman Clark Kent is like more committed than her, it seems like, in a way. And she's committed, but she's like has her doubts. Like you hear her say, I knew this wouldn't work. I do like that about their relationship. There's a little bit more still trying to figure things out, still kind of in this awkward space of what is it ultimately going to be. Because I don't know what that looks like, especially if you over here going into another country and invading this conflict and just, you know, doing that. Like, I don't know what this is going to be like.
You're kind of
controversial right now.
Well, also too, though, I mean, it's like they're trying to put restrictions on Superman and have jurisdiction on Superman.
Yeah.
Which he has no jurisdiction at all. He can just fly. And he's right. This is the part that I actually agree with Clark on. He sees some danger. He's going to go ahead. He's not going to ask permission, because by the time he has permission, whatever that's going down in another country,
they're going to be dead. Yeah,
so
right.
He needs to take care of it right then and there. So I totally get it. So why would you go ahead and get someone who is a godlike person to go ahead and ask for permission from somebody? And yes, it could cause conflict and everything with the things that we have, and you know what I'm saying, like the contracts that we have and the peace treaties that we have with other countries.
Checks and balances, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, though, if he stands for good, if he stands for someone that's trying to help us, then why not just not worry about the jurisdictions and just let him do what he does?
Yep. No, and I agree. You're right. I agree.
And you know what, though? You hit something on the head, though, too. This is an immigrant story because he is an alien.
Yep. Just
as someone who's an illegal alien that's here, or an immigrant that's here that's trying to do good, trying to help others, and try to do the American way, you know, because they want the best for their families. Just as what Superman wants best for us in society and helping us.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the embodiment of what Cornsweet does with Superman and the vulnerability behind it. Yes, he gets beat up a lot, but this is not your DC Comics Superman. This is Action Comics. And it works because I want a vulnerability Superman where we can actually relate to him. It's like, yes, I got beaten down by the world and stuff like that. Yes, mm-hmm. I got talked back negatively. Yes, I ended up getting some false information that was said about me, but I'm going to get back up. I'm going to do what I have to do. And I'm going to do it every single day. And we're going to touch on that like later on when we get into the spoiler territory, because he actually says something like that to Lex as well, where he puts his boots on every single day. We'll
get to that later. For sure.
But I love it. I felt heartfelt. I actually love the John Williams score with some new things within it and not changing anything up. Or anything. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that a lot too. Yeah, you hit that on the head, man. So, like, Lex Luthor, I was thinking about him. I like how it, like, shows his influence and, like, how he can navigate in big circles. It doesn't necessarily show how rich he is, but it definitely shows his influence without getting too far into it. Like, you have a good idea based on the circles and people he's talking to and him asking for things, how he can, like, use his influence to weaponize misinformation and play, like, dirty propaganda. Really cool, man. And it's just really cool, like, when you think about what Lex Luthor actually represents, because he's ultimately the 80s version, like the 80s adaptation of him is based on Donald Trump.
Right, exactly.
That was like, you know, they used him for like, hey, this millionaire, this person, or billionaire, this person with influence, you know, this powerful figure, you know, they're basing it on him. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah,
and just letting everybody know, I'm already aware of the whole entire of the woke, which is this thing has been going around since the 1930s. Come on, and it's always been politically connected and stuff like that.
Founded by
Tim Jewett. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to go on what you said though too about this business tycoon kind of guy that's trying to control the narrative of certain things that's going on within the movie itself. Because we actually see that. We see his puppeteers inside the control room and controlling the narrative of how they're going to take Superman down. And they seem to be okay because they're getting paid by a billionaire to be able to do that.
Yep.
And Lex is the most scariest person that you can think of in this movie, because the person who thinks that they're doing right is actually doing wrong. And that's the most scariest villain that you can get. And the way that he does this, I loved it. I loved
how that's why people are mad, because they feel like they relate to that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of people I don't understand. Right.
Right.
And exactly. And we think we're doing the right thing. It's like, yeah, I mean, Superman is good. If you're offended by that, then I mean, you're offended by somebody protecting people.
Exactly. This movie is supposed to give us some light, some hope.
Yeah.
Into a society of like, look, we need to look at what we're doing and realize that maybe we're not doing stuff for the greater good, but maybe we're doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
And stuff. So it pulls on different layers within our world, just as it does inside this comic book realm that they have. And I love how they do this, because I was wondering too. I was like, who is this super being that Lex has cooked up that's trying to take down Superman and doing this with cheat codes? Because he remembers, that's how I got it. I got it like as like video game cheat codes. Lex is like, yep, I memorized this move right here. Yep. I remember this. Yep. And he was taking him down with his own powers. Mm-hmm. So I was curious as to how Lex did this. And once we get into that, I mean, I really have to say, I felt danger in this. I felt vulnerability. I felt like crying in this movie. It pulls on a lot of weight.
Yeah, it does. It does. Who would you say is the MVP of this movie?
Okay. If I have to pull on the MVP thing, I have to give it up to Corn Sweat.
Okay.
Because of the fact that there's a lot going on him. It's like, can he do just as good of a job that Henry Cavill can do? Because everybody's going to have that comparison between Cavill and him. But here's the thing. Cavill was a little bit of realism of like, what would happen if an alien came into our society?
Yeah.
Would we accept him for who he is, or would we try and basically take him out and try and separate him? Or would we accept him with open arms? And with this one, it's totally different where we accept him. And then once we, and then guess what? Now you have Lex, like, well, everybody loves him, so guess what? I'm going to take away that power from him and make him look like the bad guy. So next thing you know it, you have everybody hating on him. So I have to give it up to Corn Sweat as the MVP for this.
That's a good answer. That's he had big shoes to fill. I think that's a good answer. My answer is Crypto.
Oh, yeah. Crypto was great. My wife's like, what's up with the dog? I'm like, babe. I said, okay. Actually, in the comic books, there's a Crypto. There, he does have a dog named Crypto. Yeah. And James Gunn adopted the dog.
Yeah.
And the marketing for this and putting that into the marketing for the puppy bowl was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was good prepping people that Crypto was going to be a big part of this movie. I was like, because based on the trailers and some of the stuff I was seeing, I was like, oh, Crypto is really about to be a big deal. And after I watched it, I'm like, that was cool. Like, it didn't annoy me at all. I thought it was endearing. I thought it was funny at times. It was cool. I think Crypto. So, too.
I you know, at first I was like, okay, is the comedy going to overshadow the seriousness of this movie?
It surprisingly didn't for me.
It doesn't.
Like, that's one thing I was worried about. Like, because that's kind of my thing with the MCU. It's like the balance of comedy and serious is like all messed up to me. It's been like that for some years. And it was good to see that about Thunderbolts. It's like, okay, it's not. Yeah, y'all knew when to get serious, which is good. But this is like when I look at, because I did a rewatch of the series for Superman, and I'm like, it really should be lighthearted. It should be. Like, it should be. Yes. You need to have, I mean, it's 2025. You still need to tell a compelling story. You still need to have emotional moments because storytelling progresses, you know? But at the same time, it still should be light.
It should exactly. be.
Like, it's a kid's story. It really is. Like,
because not everything needs to be dark and gloom. And plus, Superman is this lighthearted.
No, and it also doesn't need to be some coming of age, adult angst Snyder thing that was going on either. I mean, like I said, Man of Steel was fine. Like, there's other iterations of Superman, but that's not the basis. That's not the real foundation of Superman when you think about it.
So, and I'm glad that we did away with the origin story. I'm happy that we
that was a positive for me. And I thought about it as a negative too, because I was like, okay, it's a good thing because it's annoying to have to keep doing it, right? When we already know what it is. But I was also thinking about on the flip side about people who were seeing this for the first time. Cause like, this is going to be a lot of the younger generation's first Superman. Just like how Henry Cavill was kind of their first Superman. So I was just kind of like, dang, it does kind of, it's interesting that they don't do anything with that at all. And I was like, I mean, I will still give credit to James Gunn for like, screw that. Like, this is a reboot. It's time for us to like get going. We don't have time for that. Like, y'all know what it is. You've seen it before. Yeah. So I get that. But I was like, you know, I mean, other people, I guess, I mean, they can look it up. I mean, they can watch the other stuff.
Right. They can do what we did, because now this is going to be their Superman, and they're going to go back and rewatch everything that we watched.
Hopefully that makes them watch the Christopher Reeves one. We'll see.
Right. But, you know, I like the fact that both parents are in this, like I mentioned, and it works. You don't have to feel bad that he only has one parent when you can have the counterbalance of having both parents there to drive the narrative of the story and to be there for it.
Yeah.
Versus just one person. Because now you have the love and relationship between both parents. And I'm going to get into that later on with the spoiler as well. But with here's the thing. At first, with the trailer, I was thinking that this was too busy. I thought it would be oversaturated with these characters like Guy Gardner, Mr. What was his name? Not Mr. Fantastic.
Green Lantern, and who else are you thinking?
Hawkgirl, and then there was also...
Hawkgirl, Mr. Terrific. Yeah, Mr. Terrific. Mr. Terrific was a standout.
Love Mr. Terrific.
Love Mr. Terrific, man. Jeez, shout out to Eddie Kathaki, man. That's dope. He was really cool. I really liked his character. I'm kind of like you. I thought it was going to be a little busy at first. I was like, dang, Gunn is trying to do a lot, looking at the trailer. But no, like, if anything, they complimented Superman. I don't feel like they were too much. If anything, I was like, shoot, like, I feel like we know a little bit of each personality. Like, we got a good introduction to Green Lantern. We know his personality. Mr. Terrific, I think, had standout moments. One scene in particular we can talk about when you get in the spoiler. That's one of my favorites of him. And then Hawkgirl was, she had some moments. She didn't get to shine as much as the others, in my opinion, but she still had good moments. The Engineer, I mean, Engineer is in here. I mean, it's just a bunch of characters, man. Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. It didn't feel like too much. What it feels like is DC is on, baby.
Yes, and I like the fact too that we also have like an opening a scroll to actually introduce us to this world.
Yo, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. No, good. Something I want to say about Mr. Terrific though. This is important because I feel like Eddie, who plays him, like, he embraced being the intellectually sharp and grounded character, and he represented, you know, Black excellence. He ain't have no stereotypical trope or nothing like that. He was just confident. He was cool. And it's gonna be a big move for him and his acting career, because I mean, he did Harder They Fall, stuff like that, but this is the movie that's going to set him up. So it's good to see a Black character that's smart in a major IP like this. So I think
I agree. Cool. Here's the thing. I've been wanting to see someone of color to play other characters besides the same characters that we had in the past. And this actually gives him a chance to actually do something differently without having to be compared to other actors playing certain characters.
For sure.
So that's what I like about it, is the fact that, yes, it's an unknown character, but he's giving them a balance to something that we haven't seen before. And he can't be compared to others. So that's what I like about Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah, nah, he was dope, man. He was dope. I really liked
it. And the way he was hacking the systems and then making him be the smartest person on the team and making him stand out, while Guy Gardner is over there in his feels and stuff like that too, about his team and about how he doesn't want to help anybody. I really enjoyed it. And then how they were trying to take down that big, huge, I call it the Stitch monster, because it seems like they put out Lilo and Stitch. It seems like Stitch was out on the run and he just turned into this giant monster.
The Stitch monster. I feel you though. Yeah, that was a pretty cool scene, by the way.
Yeah, pretty I cool definitely like that, because Superman is trying to be humane. It's like, you know what? We're just going to go ahead, pick him up. And I'm going to try and figure out a way to do some studies on him to where maybe we can use him later.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, F that.
What did you think about the Hammer of Barovia, Ultraman?
Oh, I geeked out hard on that. There was a lot of great moments from this.
That
he used.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Like when he was shooting that fire out at the buildings and stuff, I was like, dang, Ultraman going hard. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, a lot of good moments, man. A lot of good moments. I enjoyed it. This was refreshing, I must say. It was.
It's a refreshing take. It's something that we actually needed. We don't have no repetitive stuff going on within this DCU. And it's not busy. It's not busy like I thought. If anything, and I said this to one of my friends, like, well, is it too busy? Does it are they just in there for the sake of being there? I said, no, if anything, they're in there to compliment Superman, not only to compliment Superman, but also to carry the narrative of the story forward. Mm-hmm. And They're there just to help, and it's, and they don't overshadow him because it's a Superman movie. They could have easily put Superman off to the side and let it be these characters who has to take down everything while Superman is being vulnerable. But that's not the story.
Yeah.
And I like that. Superman is still on the forefront while these guys are still side characters, but they're only in there when they need to be in there.
Only when they need to be. They never overshined him, really. Not really, man. No, not at all. And they were in there at the right amount of time. Everybody got their time. Everybody did their thing. We got the Young Justice. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was cool. There's a certain scene I was going to talk about. Well, not scene, but just overall important element. I'll wait till you get to spoiler territory, though.
Okay.
I don't want to mess it up for anybody. But yeah, man. Trying to think. What else did you like about this movie?
So as far as that, we talked about Lois. I also like Perry White. I also like Jimmy Olsen. I like the people in the Daily Planet. And it's not doom and gloom because Tamika and I talked about this in Man of Steel. It's like it feels like a Tuesday and nobody wants to be there. It's like, yeah, we're over here, the Daily Planet. I'm working over here. I'm doing another story. Oh, Superman just saved somebody. Okay. Nah, let's go. And it didn't feel like that. It's like it was very quick and
there, there's no is there any live actions that are like that? They act like that?
And Man of Steel, for me, the Daily Planet was doom and gloom. There was no light in that.
Oh, building. Yeah. I can see what you mean. That's actually, I actually want to rewatch Man of Steel because I feel like, are there any light moments in there? Shoot.
No, everything is gloom and doom to me. It's like that building is just like depression. Like when you go in there, there's nothing in there that screams Superman or atmospheric about Man of Steel.
That really explains why people really hate that. I mean, you don't remember, there's no jokes in there? Because it's been...
There's some jokes, but at the same time, though, it's, you know, you have moments where you can laugh, but I'm just talking about, like, the overall tone.
Yeah, the tone.
The darkness within it.
Yeah, it's...
Wow. I like aspects of it.
Daily Planet has to have laughs. Like, it has to be quirky... That kind of thing. It's
not only that, but upbeat. It's like, hey, look, hey, Perry, I got another story that landed. Okay, you need to go ahead, take care of that story. Then you have a bunch of reporters running around the office. This is exactly what I pictured the Daily Planet to be. This is like Lois and Clark, the new adventures of Superman for me.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been wanting. And I love Man of Steel. I think Man of Steel is a good movie, but there's certain aspects that works for me and certain aspects that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I actually split that into two reviews because of how deep we got into it.
Yeah.
But still, for me, just the darkness of the outfit for Superman and then also to Perry. I like Lawrence Fishburne, but Lawrence didn't even work for me. This version of Perry works for me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one thing I do like is how they showed how we needed that solar radiation to heal up Superman.
Yep.
That was cool, especially when we get to the prison of this outer world, whatever that area is called.
It was actually the underground thing that you're talking about.
Now that was cool too. And then our introduction to another character, which was dope, getting to his child and stuff. And that was a nice heartfelt moment. And at first I was like, when they got paired up together, I'm like, ooh, how's this gonna work?
Is that Martian Manhunter? Does he get captured? Because I didn't really know too much about that one character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't either. And I was like, dang. I was like, he ain't messing with Superman. He ain't trying to hear nothing. He was like, shut up. Stop talking to me.
He's like, I got a job to do. I gotta kill you.
I'm like, man, look, man, you gotta take out that kryptonite, man. Come on now. Yeah, but no, it is good, man. It hits on a lot of important topics, man. Misinformation, public trust, and how that, you know, I like that scene where where Superman gets thrown on the ground when he surrenders himself
to
the cops and stuff. Like, that was just like, dang, man, you ain't got to do him like that. He surrendered himself. Like, if he really wanted to, like, let it go, y'all would be out of here.
Exactly, dude. Like, I was thinking the same thing, too, but I like how they're actually pulling on the narrative of how the audience is thinking, though, too. It's like, he turned himself in, and you're treating him like trash, and he could actually just break out of those handcuffs anytime he wants, like you said, but he's surrendering himself, but they're slamming him to the ground, they're treating him unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
I just it just shows the impact that certain things in the world has on people and what they believe in, and they would yeah. treat somebody poorly like that.
Exactly. Oh, that's what it was called—the pocket dimension. Yep. Yeah, it was the pocket dimension where they sent them. But yeah, I like that. I like that area though. That was a really great. I mean, just the world building in this was just really cool, man. Like once we get to the pocket dimension, how that looks, even with the kind of the final act of the pocket dimension and trying to get out and stuff like that. That just whole look really cool, man. Like the CGI looked pretty clean for the most part.
The CGI is clean. It wasn't too blocky. It wasn't like anything that we had like Ant-Man, Quantumania or anything. Oh, it looked fresh.
Hell no. It didn't look like, let's compare it to a DC movie. Didn't look like The Flash.
No. That's didn't good. Look like the
didn't look like The Flash. So I was like, yeah, we doing all right. We doing all right. But no, nah, it was dope, man. Metamorpho is a cool character. I'd be curious to see how his character unfolds as they, I don't know if they'll bring him out for more movies or how that'll work, but I imagine so.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So now we're getting into the spoiler talk. Now that we're
in spoiler, now talk about it. The Fortress of Solitude, really important in this movie, and they nailed that. Because like Fortress of Solitude, I like what they did in 1978, the first Superman movie. Like it was important. You know the importance of that with Jor-El and his parents and what that means to him. But in this version, it shows how important the robots were, how it was a deeply emotional space. That's why it hits hard whenever Lex Luthor comes in and ruins it the way he does. And it's a place to connect to his heritage. It's a place where he can come to feel at home and connected to who he is. It's a place where he finds connection to the truth versus this outside corrupt world. It's just a really important piece that they nailed. And that's an important piece for Superman. So I like the Fortress of Solitude and how that.
The Fortress of Solitude looked fantastic. It looked fantastic. I like how it's hidden inside the ice and then it comes up.
Yes.
And then you get into this thing where Crypto carries him over to the into the Fortress of Solitude. And I didn't expect myself to care about these robots.
Yeah.
But when you see them get destroyed, it broke me because I'm like, I'm feeling sad for a robot that I was introduced 5 to 10 minutes ago that doesn't have feelings, but yet I established feelings for this robot, and it just shows you the emotional attachment that James Gunn has set up for us to care about something, and then the radiation from the sunlight to actually heal his powers.
Yes.
The thing that I liked too was when they end up showing the parents and they're talking, we don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Any other Superman movie would actually showed us some captions, but they didn't. I'm glad they hid that from us for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, oh, it just suits him. And so we're thinking, okay, that's cool. It's just the parents talking to Kal-El and just trying to be there for their son, even though they're not there, but they're there.
That was a really good scene where he's laying back, just watching them on screen talking. I like that scene a lot. Yeah, it really shows his emotional connection to it. Really important to his heritage. It's really dope, man. Really important. I don't think I've seen it. It hasn't been done like that in a live action. Not like that.
No, and that's something I liked. I really felt like I was in the Fortress of Solitude. I felt bad because he got his ass kicked and everything, and he's feeling vulnerable. And then you have Crypto having to carry him all the way to the Fortress of Solitude, and then you know, at first,
I love that at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, dang, got blood on him and everything. I'm like, oh snap, hold on now.
One of my friends, okay, has a YouTube channel, and he actually posted Superman Balboa, and he actually has blood on black and blue marks on him and stuff like that. And all I wanted was Lois, I did it at the end, but still. I like the vulnerability.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
Behind it. I like the fact that
it
gives us something to relate to, because we're always used to him as being this godlike character that's only basically going to be killed by kryptonite. It humanizes him.
Yep. Yeah, that's I really like that. And then I did want to talk about the overall, like, people being mad about what this represents politically. So I do like that. So James Gunn is leaning into today's conflict, however you want to look at it, Ukraine, whatever. If you want to look at Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine, however you want to do it. But he's not, he's basically leaning into today's conflict. That's what Superman has always been, though. Like, Superman was he represented, you know, each historical moment in history. So it's interesting here. You have a group of people being oppressed. And that's where people are kind of drawing inspiration from, the Israel and Palestine in the beginning. And even though that may not have been his original intention when writing it, he could have been thinking about Ukraine or Russia. But it was one of those things where conservatives started tripping out about it, calling it woke Superman. And it's just like, it's like, bro, this was created to fight. Like, Superman technically was created to fight anti-Semitism. Like, and then when you look at the actor who's playing Superman, he's a Jewish actor. So it just makes it even that more, much more impactful. So it just it's like almost Gunn is saying, like, whatever side you're on, left or right, doesn't matter. What's wrong is wrong. Like, if people are oppressed, this is wrong. And I think what people are in their feelings about is like, okay, so you have this fictional, both cities are fictional. You have Bravia, which is supposed to be an ally to the U.S. Superman stops them from invading. I think they call it Jarhemper or something.
Yeah, Jarhemperhurst. Yeah.
So we don't see that, but that's what we're told. And that's what the interview is about. And that's what Lois's problem is, like, oh, should you have done that? Now,
I love the interview aspect to it. The
interview aspect is great. Now, these two cities are from the comics. This ain't nothing new, but the fact Gunn decides to use these two cities very much is purposeful. Like, he's drawing inspiration from today's conflict. That we're told Bravia has strong weapons. What does Israel have? Strong weapons. I think what also pissed off people, like, oh, you're really trying to make it about the Bravians are white. The Jaharpians, they're non-white. And so and then the imagery that you see of the young women and the children along the fence and all that kind of stuff, like, it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what it is. Like, it is what it is, right?
Right, exactly. But he's just saying, like, both sides can be equally wrong while you have one guy who's trying to be in the middle of it and trying to stand for something right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, and like I said, yeah, that interview between them, which that was good advertising, that, because that is one of my favorite moments, where she interviews Superman Clark Kent, and she kind of gives her input on this Joran nation. She's kind of like, oh, well, you know, if they're, you know, you stepped in, but it's a nation that if they're not kept in check, there could be more bloodshed. Superman's like, I'm going to stop all this altogether because that's what's best. So
exactly. I'm going to do what's best to protect the United States citizens from harm, just as I'm going to protect the other countries as well. I'm not going to just be here to protect America. Exactly. I'm here to also save other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Despite their leadership being wrong.
Yep.
I'm still going to step in. I'm still going to do right, even though those countries are not doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what makes him Superman. That's what makes him different from us.
For sure.
Because think of it like this. We're humans, right? Superman is. We have that human flaw with us, where we go to only one side. With him, he doesn't see it from that way. And like Lois says, you see people as beautiful people.
Yep.
There's no flaws with you. The way you look,
we only saw his flaws in Superman 3.
Right.
You say you like Superman 3, huh? My boy over here getting drunk at the bar and everything.
Right.
My boy getting drunk at the bar.
Tying somebody up to a hacking machine as well. but still, that's what makes Superman different from us. We think differently than what he does, and that's what makes him different from us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then seeing Clark get pissed off at Lois, and he storms off, and afterwards, and she's like, and he doesn't try to fix things, just, and he's so good at fixing things to help us, but he cannot fix this relationship between him and her, realizing it's more complicated than just flying over and helping some other people that he doesn't know. So it shows vulnerability there, but I liked the whole entire thing of like, well, what was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to just let everyone just die? Or why are you going to restrict me? I have no restrictions. I need the help. And he gets pissed off at her as like he should.
He's a real superhero because Bruce Wayne would have folded and said, my bad, baby. And then try to get some that day. And then
especially with Selina. Selina, that's a wrap.
Bruce Wayne would have folded. You know Bruce Wayne is a ladies' man. He would have folded.
Exactly. Like I said, I'm Selina Kyle, and Selina got into an argument, especially if they're making love in front of a fireplace, just like in every 90, in the 90s version. Yeah. You know that's a wrap. He's like, sorry, baby, I didn't mean to do that. Can you put on your Catwoman outfit one more time for me?
It's interesting though, man. I do like how it's related to today, and that's how Superman should be. It should be related to what's going on in today's terms and all that kind of stuff. And you know, people just chill out. Films are political. You know, it is what it is. I mean, all this Marvel stuff has stuff. Look at the Iron Man movies and stuff. I mean, you know what it is. So I don't know.
Even people with saying that X-Men was woke. I'm like, clearly you don't know anything about X-Men.
Don't know anything about the comics. I mean, come on. What are we talking about?
Exactly.
That's all about, man. It's heavy on racism and segregation and stuff like that. Come on. Get out of here.
So let's see here. So what did you think about how this whole entire thing is with Lex? I love the building. I like the LexCorp building and how he's able to use this building to see all of Metropolis to actually manipulate everybody while he's sitting up and watching everything being orchestrated like puppets. And so he can have his own, so that way he can just go ahead and sit back and relax and let things happen. I love this whole entire deal. And then you also have this other sad thing that happens when Superman's captured. And then he winds up getting the immigrant that Superman saved and does Russian roulette with this person.
That was a tough scene. I was surprised they went there. I was surprised they did. I was like, all right, cool. All right. That was a hard moment. That was a good and risky move, I felt like, for DC. That was good.
They went really dark with that. And I felt like they needed that to show the fact that Lex cannot be stopped. And also, too, that one alien that's trying to kill Superman with the kryptonite, he's like, look, if you say that you can go ahead and save my son, forget about the stupid kryptonite BS. That's how he knew he was done.
Yep. that was good. Do you feel like there was – what moment would you say Lex – looked at everything and was like, I'm cooked?
Probably when Superman comes in there, whenever he realizes that the story has been broken about him.
That was
like,
what'd you think about that scene? What'd you think about that scene? That's what I was getting to. What'd you think about that scene?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you have this powerful man who's supposed to look like that he's in control of everything. And then you're seeing that control and that power be stripped away from him now, realizing he has no power. He's just a little man in a suit playing God while you have a godlike being stopping this mayhem that you caused. And he's realized, oh shit, I screwed up. And especially when Superman's over there, like, every day I get my boots on. Every day I get up and make sure that I'd be a better person than I am any other time. And then you have Crypto that ends up interrupting Lex Luthor's speech. That would only be another moment that I would have to say that he realized he was cooked whenever Crypto gets a hold of him. But still, I really loved how where Lex is actually explaining why he thinks he's right and why he is the most dangerous person because he thinks he's right.
Yeah, it was. I like the tears coming down too. Like he was like, "I'm screwed. I'm done."
Yeah,
it was over. That was a really good scene. That's what I wanted to get to, man. I wanted to see this is my favorite live action Lex Luthor.
Me too. Sure.
It is. Like I don't think anybody else brought it the way, because even when you look at Gene Hackman's, it's the villain, the way that they're doing the villain story is just, it's like you don't, you know that he's like, oh yeah, I wrote it this way, be villain and this is the story. And Gene Hackman is just being dope because he's one of the greatest all time, whatever. But this feels like grounded and
layered.
And, you know, even though the tone is a little bit more chill or whatever, this guy feels real. Like this guy 100%. Nicholas Holt, he did his thing.
Right. Nicholas, and not only really that, but he doesn't have henchmen to pull that trigger. He actually went on ahead and pulled that trigger himself.
Oh, did it himself, man.
Shows you the dominance that he has.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how well he's in control of everything.
For sure, for sure.
That's what made me scared of him. And then for sure. Using Superman's parents as a way to destroy him and manipulate the system into not liking him anymore. And I also like how they do this whole entire internet thing where you have a bunch of monkeys actually at the keyboard doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is going to be the YouTube channel. You know what I'm saying? Where people are actually hating on everybody. And then this is also Clark feeding into the system that Lex has actually created.
Yep.
And
the
reaction that he has because of that manipulation behind the scenes that he didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved how they do that peek behind the curtain type of thing of what's actually happening with these big corporations. And why they want you to be separated from everybody. One on left, one on right. No one's in the middle. No one's, because here's the thing. I said this. The reason why we're never going to have peace today is because everybody wants to be right.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hear people's opinions. Either you want to be right, and that's it. And
not even their opinions about a Superman review, because boys is getting roasted if they don't like this movie.
Exactly. Boys is
getting roasted. I'm talking about, ooh. Yeah, like talking about. Yeah, it's bad. Everybody wants to feel right, man. And you know, when I look at Lex Luthor, like I've always thought about, like, man, Lex Luthor's just a hater, man. But watching this movie, I'm like, this dude is one of the biggest haters in comic book history. Like, this dude is just a hater.
Exactly. All he wants to do is separate people from the others. He wants to be in control of everything. Yeah. He wants to get rid of Superman so he can be the dominant one outside of everything and where people can reach out to him because he's actually the person who's part of the metahuman forces of the government. So he needed some type of leverage to be able to say, hey, look, Superman's a threat. He winds up doing that whole entire thing with Superman's family. And I like how something that was supposed to be calming to him is now horrifying to him because it was the illusion of what his parents from Krypton thought what he was supposed to stand for. But he didn't know that he was actually endangering people's lives because of what his parents wanting him to do.
Yeah.
And then you have that whole entire thing too where he's actually at where he's back at home with the Kents. I love that moment of two being back in Kansas.
Yep. Yep, I like that. Did you catch that twist coming that Ultraman was going to be the clone, Superman clone?
I was wondering what was up with it because I'm like, okay, I get the fact that Lex knows his moves. I get the fact he can basically have close to the same powers as Superman, but I'm like, who is it? Because we actually see this in the death of Superman as well with Doomsday being covered up.
Yeah, yeah. There were some people theorizing about that happening leading up to the movie. When it happened, I was like, oh, snap. Okay.
I'm okay with that. I was actually okay with it being a clone because I'm like, how did they get the DNA? Then they explain how they got the DNA from him, how he was able to go into the Fortress of Solitude and get the things that he needed to take down Superman.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I thought it was cool. I guess I didn't realize it until it was happening. I guess I should have predicted it though. Like, oh well, yeah, if he got his everything he needed out of there, then that should have. But that was cool though. That was dope.
Me too.
What did you think of Luthor's girlfriend, Taskmaster? Like,
okay, with her, I thought she was like the over the top one girlfriend that we got from the other movies with Lex Luthor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. As I was going back and watching the older ones, I'm like, they're all over the top. I think James Gunn is using her for social media to hit on.
Yeah, social media type. And stuff like that, but I like how they used her though. And Jimmy's over there, the one I like how Jimmy is not like
Jimmy's smooth though. Jimmy don't want her though. I'm like, dang, Jimmy, she kind of bad, bro. You sure?
And then even Lois is like, look, she's a good looking girl. She's attractive.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, she's attractive? She's and now he's like, okay, I'm going with it. And I remember everybody at the theater, right? You know, when she's, can we go out this weekend, Jimmy? Just the two of us? Can we hang out? And I was like, say yes. Everybody within the theater was like, say yes.
Jimmy's like, the whole weekend?
And then before he could even say yes, she gets kidnapped from Lex and puts her in the hole.
Yep.
I like how she used the background to let them know what's going on. I'm thinking to myself, this girl cannot be this dumb. So I'm like, and I started thinking, and I actually, now this is the thing that I picked up on. I'm like, they're going to use the backgrounds of everywhere that she was at to give us what Lex is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as I seen why is she, and then he goes, why did she send me a bunch of sexy pictures? I'm like, it's not the sexy pictures, it's what's in the background.
There you go. Yep. So she's smart. She's smart. Yes. She's smart. Yeah, smarter than you think. I think now the other one, his other girlfriend, one of them is actually kind of smart too. I'm trying to think if it is it part three or two? Does he have a smart girlfriend than any of the others? Or do you think they're all kind of whatever? Not part three. It's definitely not part three.
No, not part three. But there is someone that's actually a little
bit smarter. Part three, he has a lady that works for him that turns into a robot. I was like,
yeah, that's the sister that works for that other billionaire.
The sister. And that robot scene is fire, though. I rock with that.
But yeah.
You could take that. You could take that four and they could throw that away.
Yeah. Part four.
Hey, they did Reeves bad on that, man.
I would be mad though too. I mean, like, this is what I said in my review for part four. Like, it's like they decided, hey, I'm gonna make a super villain, but I'm also gonna ground him. Yeah. You cannot go out past 12 from 5 o'clock.
Yep.
Any other time, you can go out. You're not allowed to go out. That's the restriction.
That's a good analogy. Yes. Best way to say it.
But you know what's funny though,
mm-hmm.
and I said this too. Like I remember going to the video store and renting this every single time I turned around.
Part four. Damn.
As a kid,
I think it I was. Didn't know no better. Well, I did the same thing with Batman and Robin, so it's all good. We're fair. We're even.
But you know what though, the person at the rental store actually gave me the videotape. I guess because I'm the only one.
I bet he was. You know they were talking about. He get the same thing every time. Look at this little youngster.
Just let him have it. We're not gonna miss it. No one's gonna want this movie anyways.
He don't know no better. Wait 10 years exactly. From now. Watch. Yeah, that's funny.
But you know, but it just shows you how times have changed since the old Christopher Reeves movies and the things that we've got now that gives us more layers, more things to be relatable. Because at first it's like, how can we relate to someone that's a godlike person? I know that we can relate to Clark because of the fact he is us, but how do we relate to someone that's a godlike person?
Exactly.
So with this, to give us a chance to be relatable for both ends on that, and mm-hmm. also on Man of Steel to be able to be related about who I am, where do I come mm-hmm. from, self-identification. So that's what I like about Man of Steel. That's also what I like about this movie, but. Yeah. I like how this movie wraps up, though, where the one thing that I liked was, remember when you had that scene with the other father mm-hmm. aspect of it?
Yep.
And then you have the Kent. And I love this whole entire dynamic because of, like, that's not who I embodied. That's not the parents that I grew up with. Those are the parents who never took care of me, didn't teach me right from wrong. Those are the parents that were having different plans for me mm-hmm. than the parents that I have that fostered me and took care of me and taught me a moral compass.
Yep.
And that's where I want to go with, is those parents. Yep. I don't want to go with the parents that wanted me to take over Earth and pregnant somebody and to have other super babies to become the new Krypton of the Earth.
Yeah, that was good, man. I really like the way that ended. Really like the way that ended. I was surprised you didn't say anything about his cousin.
Okay. The cousin aspect, I was geeking out at because I wasn't sure we were going to get her because I remember that they mentioned the fact that we're going to get a Supergirl movie, but I didn't know to be in this as a little small cameo. I geeked out over it. And then we also have the actual costume from the comic books, too. I'm like, yes. My wife looks at me and she's like, who's that? I said, wait, what? So I had to educate her on
who. Well, I spoiled myself because, like, right before I got to my showing, I just looked up the cast to just kind of get a refresher of who was all in it. Mm-hmm. And then I said, Supergirl, it was already there. I was like, dang, man. I was like, all right. So, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really, because I was kind of watching. I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know. Maybe she's not in it, or maybe she's like post-credit or something. But yeah, that was cool.
I'm glad they didn't use her as a post-credit scene. They let it be part of the ending
I'm glad. Yeah, set her up for the sequel
But I like
how. Is this the first time getting Supergirl on screen, a live action? Is that the first
actually
time?
In the 80s, there was a live action adaptation of Supergirl.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that. Sure.
I haven't seen it.
I have.
Was it bad?
It's just as bad as Superman 4, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. It gets a little.
And they actually use the same setup as like the other old school Superman movies that we grew up in. Put on this pod, they send her off to space, to Earth and stuff, and then they send her into this all girls college school.
Wow, that sounds interesting though. But you said it's really bad. I mean, I can imagine. 1984, geez, Supergirl the movie. Wow,
I rented that from the video store too.
Oh man, Faye Dunaway though, dang, that's crazy. Yeah. All right. Well,
I recommend that you check it out just to get.
It's on Max. It's on Max. They got it on there. Okay.
I definitely recommend for people if you haven't seen Supergirl, just to get a little bit of who her personality is live action, and compare it.
I would like to see that because that's what's going to be coming up. We know she's coming up, so yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out.
If you want to do a review for that, let me know because I wouldn't mind revisiting that.
Yeah. Let's drop a review on it. Let's do it.
But, you know, I just thought it was funny. And then you have the robots. Somebody goes, well, I'm supposed to care, but I don't really care about what happens to her. Yeah. Because he's like, all he does, she does is party. He goes,
yep. Yeah.
And then you have the robot who wants to rename Gary, which I thought was funny as well.
That is funny. There was some good funny moments in here, man. I think James Gunn, he really did balance it well. From people I've talked to, I don't think anybody really had a problem with the comedy and just drama or whatever happened. Have you heard anybody complain about it?
No. As far as I know, no. But then again, whenever I try to do reviews, I try to block out everybody else's reviews so that what mine can be fresh to where I'm compared to somebody else's stuff.
For sure, yeah.
But, you know, for me, I enjoy the comedy aspect of it. Now, there was a scene where Superman winds up punching somebody in the face and it goes into the camera. And I remember saying this in my reaction video. I'm like, I'm not sure if I feel it in this.
Yeah.
But when you see it now there's a difference between seeing something on a small screen, like a laptop and stuff like that. And there's a difference
the theater between seeing watching it. And getting context, yeah.
Right. I loved it. And then when Lex takes Superman's dog and he comes busting in the office, I reacted to that too. But I liked seeing it on the screen because it gives me more context, like you mentioned. And I like how he goes, where's the dog, Lex? Where's the dog? And Lex is over there just drinking his coffee. But it's such a Lex Lutheran asshole way that he plays him. This Nicholas Holt is really good. Matter of fact, I might give him the Middle of Merit badge for this. For that
role. You said what?
The Middle of Merit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that scene was good, man. And that was good how he played that. They got him, record him. Oh, see, look at him. Look how aggressive. Look how crazy he is. Told you he's bad. Yeah, right. that was a good setup, man. I really like that. Trying to think. It was just a lot of good moments, man. I mean, I recommend people go out here and go see it, go support it. I feel like DC's in a good spot. I know a lot of people were skeptical of James Gunn. What I didn't like about this is leading up to this movie, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it. There was like a smear campaign on Gunn. Like people were posting still images of the movie in production, not even finished yet, saying the CGI is going to be bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
People were saying, people were trying to say this Superman is going to be bad. David Corns went, did great. I mean, but people were just trying to like just hate. It's like, dude, people were saying he's too MCU. He's not going to be able to do DCEU. He doesn't know how, you know, it's just all this kind of stuff. And it's like, wait for it to come out first. Wait,
exactly.
Up, and then form your, like, come on, man. Like, and
because it, here's the thing, I don't like when people,
when the final trailer dropped is when people say, oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. And now what? Yeah, shut up.
Exactly. And then, you know, I don't like it when people take pictures out of context. And like, this is going to suck. I'm like, it's a picture. It doesn't give us any context into what we're getting.
Exactly.
All they're trying to say, hey, look, there's a Superman movie coming out.
Yeah.
Be prepared for it. We're excited to do this for you. Let's see what we have.
Well, also, when has James Gunn dropped anything that even looked bad looking?
Like, I can't remember.
In terms of CGI and all that kind of stuff, Guardians of the Galaxy, none of that stuff looks bad. All of it.
No, the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff is really good. I do remember them complaining about David Corn's sweat when he's flying in the trailer, how the CGI looked off, but Gunn fixed it. So he's listening to the fans.
Yeah.
And stuff. The only thing I have to say that I'm going to criticize James a little bit is how he talks to people on social media when he has a podcast to actually talk about DC property stuff.
How does he talk to people?
Online, he talks to everybody. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to me. Talk to fans. I love the fact that he is interactive with the fans. But at the same time, if something big is happening, I'd like for you to, you know, just drop it on the podcast or something.
Because
he does have a DC podcast that he runs.
I got you.
So I do like the interaction between James Gunn and the fan base. He actually commented a couple of times with me as well and things like that too.
Nice.
So, I love James Gunn. I do. I think he's a friendly guy. I love him as a director. I like him as a person that's up front now, just as Kevin Feige is now, overseeing the properties. I think he's a great person to have as a director, not only a director, but someone who's in charge.
Yeah.
So but my other question for you though is this: before we wrap up, what did you think of Peacemaker being in this?
Hey, that was cool, man. I like those little Easter eggs, man. I honestly feel like that could be it could just be a fun Easter egg, or it could be teasing that he could be getting something again soon. I mean, we already have the series, but what if he ends up with a movie?
I think it could work if you.
That would be cool. That would be cool. I mean, what did you think about The Suicide Squad? Because I feel like a lot of people enjoyed it.
I love The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my favorite movies during that time.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people enjoyed it. I think it's a fun time. I think the cast is fun. Everybody nailed it. I think it's, man, to be real, I would love to see them again.
Me too. I would love to see another Suicide Squad movie. Yeah. And also have Peacemaker in there and have Harley Quinn, everybody back again.
Yeah.
And I think that is actually, we're going to probably get it. So
I haven't looked at the schedule though. As of recently, is there another schedule release that he posted?
Not yet. All we're getting right now is just Supergirl, and it's slowly building as of right now. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like once we see the box office numbers, because this is the opening weekend, right? What counts is the second weekend box office numbers. If it's going to have a drop.
Yeah, it's a lot riding on this movie, man.
And according to James, there's not really much riding on it. He actually has full confidence that, you know, that this is going to go all the way.
Yeah, I see people saying $1 billion. What's your box office prediction?
I'll go $1 billion.
You're going $1 billion?
Yeah, because I know that it's impossible to reach $1 billion because no other Superman movie has ever done it. But also, too, we never had a super movie that's been formulated like this, layered like this, or looked like this, and is actually fun. So, you know,
I'm gonna say 800.
800 is reasonable.
I just feel like that's realistic. I mean, if we're talking about worldwide, when it's all said and done, I can see 800. What did Thunderbolts hit? I just need to see what the numbers are now.
Well, I wanted to compare the box office numbers for Batman versus Superman.
I'm trying to get into. I don't even want to go Batman versus Superman.
Well, that made $874,360,803.
Worldwide. I mean, that's two Titans, and people came out disappointed too.
Right. I've seen that movie three times because I wasn't sure if I liked it the first time, so I wanted it.
I like it. Okay, it's. I like the Ultimate Edition. You can watch the Ultimate Edition.
I love the Ultimate Edition.
I think. Trying to think. Yeah, look and see what Thunderbolts got, but I don't know. I want to base it in kind of modern,
okay, like
today, just so because I feel like that would make sense for
worldwide box office. It made $382,239,000.
Thunderbolts.
Yeah,
and this will be bigger. So I think 800.
Yeah, 800 for sure. Because if you think about it like this, like with those characters that we got from Thunderbolts. Nobody really knew who they were.
Exactly.
So, and also too, if they just actually called it New Avengers instead of Thunderbolts, everyone probably made more money because it was like everybody would know, hey, look, that's the Avengers. That's the New Avengers.
So they were riding off of we're the MCU and y'all been watching our movies all this time. So
right. But yeah. I think that's everything that I had wanted to cover for this review, though. What about you?
Yeah, I think I said everything, man. Yeah, no, I'm glad you liked it, man. I liked it a lot, too. I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Everybody go see it. Go see it. And I appreciate you having me on, John. It's always
a pleasure. No problem, man. It's good having you back on here, Kev.
It's been a little while, man. You got to hop on our podcast. We're going to be talking about Superman, so we have to get on.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll do these press junkets. I'll be like, I'll jump on everybody's podcast talking about this movie because there's just so much stuff and detailed into this that I could actually pull from different things.
There you go.
So I wouldn't mind coming on y'all's podcast to talk about Superman.
That's what's up. For sure. Okay.
But let's see here. So my score for this would be like a 4.5 out of 5.
I have it at a 4 out of 5 right now. So yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm going to watch it. And probably again sometime next week. I think my sister actually wants to go see it tomorrow. So we might see it tomorrow.
Yeah, my stepdaughter was kind of mad because I didn't bring her, so I'm probably going to try and figure out a way to bring her to the movies.
Oh, you in trouble. Oh, yeah, you better go back up there.
Yeah, I better drive my 30 minutes back over there, though.
We'll just be talking about Superman. Episode drops next week. Be on the lookout for that.
All right. Well, guys, I hope everyone has a great and safe day. Also, too, Rossi will be back doing her thing this Wednesday night. Go on ahead and check her out. And she has a new episode dropping on Rossi's Clubhouse, which I'm actually editing her audio right now. And that's going to be dropping on Monday at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. So check that out. All right. Always until next time. Thanks, Kev. Thank
you. All right, man. I'll see you, bro. Man, I got to hop off, man.
All right, man.
I'll let you, bro.
All right. Later.
Bye. Take it easy.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Say big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Say